So Lynn asks, so would they use the panethene to help with high cholesterol? Yes. Yes, and there were studies, and I'll show you more of those studies when I fill in the gaps with the new section. But there were a couple of studies that I found so far. One was they did 900 milligrams a day, and the other was 600 milligrams a day. And it was basically brought the cholesterol down huge amounts, like anywhere from 37 to 53%, depending on the study. And it also brought the HDLs up, and it brought the triglycerides down. So, yes, you got somebody who's got high cholesterol, and they're also a stressed out person, which most people with high cholesterol are, then you would really consider the B5, really consider it. And the dose for those studies was anywhere from 600 to 900. The doses that we see that have been studied for adrenal fatigue, clinically relevant, not necessarily the peer-reviewed studies, but is somewhere like 500 milligrams three times a day. All right. So I'm going to see whose hands are up. We got two hands up. We've got Maria and then Lynn. So, hey, Maria.
Hey, I think this hands up were from before when you asked us to do that. But,
oh, okay. Great.
But, you know, actually, since I got you on the phone, we're talking about cholesterol earlier, and, yes, I understand all you said about the low levels, but, it really, you know, what is low level in your opinion? Because, I know the, functional level is anything between 180 and 220, but what is low levels for the B5 over here that is compromising? 100, 140, because you see doctors sometimes putting these people in statin and getting to, you know, really low levels and they love it, and that, I know that's not ideal. So
right.
Just what do you think about that?
Yeah, that's a great question, Maria. You know, what happens is the doctors are putting them on statins thinking that the lower the better. And there are a lot of
right.
studies that show that people get depressed, and then
yeah.
they have hormone imbalances and all from that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So while I can't give you an exact number, I think it's going to vary from person to person. It might vary from, you know, based on the person's stress level. It might be very based on the person's size. But I think, you know, I think 150 is a good number. I think 135 to 150 is fine. I think up to 180, 200. I don't like to see them above 200. I like
right.
to see them between, say, you know, at the low end, 135 or preferably 150 to 180. That's where I think the ideal more is. But if mm-hmm. I think if they get below 135, you have to start looking at possibility that they're having a problem. Now, if they have high cholesterol and their
yeah.
numbers are 150, then it's possible you don't want to mess with getting their levels low. You want to do things to help them bring it up. Now, coconut oils have been found to do it. I mean, certainly people can
yeah.
eat eggs or meat or whatever. But I think
yeah.
You really just need to look at if it's low and they're having symptoms of it being low, that could be an issue. But I think it's more of a problem with people generally without medication. People are not going to be running around with really low cholesterol
right. yeah.
unless you're, you know, doing
yeah.
a cleanse or a fast. So that's not an issue. It's really the numbers on the drugs, and the drugs have so many side effects. The statin drugs
right.
with like CoQ10 depletion and, you know, hormone depletion, et cetera, that I think it's a mistake. And we know, except in certain cases where it's a really, you know, inherited hereditary hypercholesterolemia, that they struggle with getting it down. That's a rare person. For most people, they
yeah.
can get their cholesterol in a really healthy level just by eating right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And lowering their stress and exercise, you know, all of our foundations. So yeah,
yeah.
But I think it's a mistake with the doctors trying to do them by statins, bringing them way down. I really think it's a mistake.
I know, and they shovel this down, it's, you know, and everybody believes it, and then they have all these other side effects, and they don't want to believe anybody else say anything because it's all over the news, you know, and statin is the best thing ever created, and it's just, oh, my God.
But, right, but you know, when you look at deaths due to heart disease, they don't really lower
mm-hmm.
it. And the
no.
people who
mm-hmm.
end up going in for their open heart surgery, and then they're put on statins, they're back in 3 to 5 years later. For another one, because it's always, why aren't you changing the cause, right? I think it might have been Dr. Wilson when we interviewed him. He was saying, well, if you've got 30 holes in your roof, right, you can't expect to get rid of your leak until you put the holes up, you know, fix the holes, right? You can put a temporary sheet, you know, you can put a plastic drop cloth or something inside your house to keep your floor from getting ruined. But if your floor is getting ruined because there's a hole in the roof, no matter what you do, unless you fix the hole in the roof, it's not going to get fixed. And that's true of our bodies as well. We have to fix the root cause. Otherwise, the symptoms go away, like the smoke detector that shuts off when you pull the battery out, but then the house burns down. So we all know this, but this is it's a mentality and it's a paradigm that I really want to help people to shift.
I know, I agree. It's just it's kind of frustrating because they are in this drugs and they, because it lowers, you know, automatically or almost automatically, they keep eating shit, you know.
Right.
And nothing.
They think they're safe.
And they think they're safe and everything else in their body is not functioning well. It's just a turmoil. But we all know this stuff. Okay, thank
we
you
all know
very
that.
Much.
And
appreciate
it's helping them. It's we really need to figure out the ways to help them and inform them and educate them and get them to know that just because your numbers changed on a blood test doesn't mean you're now safe. And I think it's a disgrace that doctors are telling them this because they've studied the science. They went in one ear and out the other, obviously, the nutritional science. Although Mary Wolf sent me a quote yesterday. I'll read it to you guys because I thought it was really cool. I'm going to look into it further. But it was some doctor that wrote this really cool balance as if it was like some new discovery that he just made, but it was cool that he made that discovery. And he said, his name is Walter Willett, MD, professor of epidemiology and nutrition, Harvard School of Public Health. The potential impact of healthy diet when you combine it with not smoking and regular physical exercise is enormous. For example, our studies have shown that we could prevent about 82% of the heart attacks, 70% of the strokes, and 90% of type 2 diabetes and over 70% of colon cancer with the right dietary choices as a part of a healthy lifestyle. The best drugs can reduce heart attacks by 20 to 30%. Yet we put almost all of our resources into promoting drugs rather than healthy lifestyle and nutrition.
Yeah.
So they're becoming aware, but we need it to happen so that people are not put in danger by getting on these drugs. That's the biggest thing.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right, anybody else have questions? You guys are quiet. No other questions? Was that real clear? I'm going to open up everybody's lines. Was that helpful? Did you learn something? Who learned something today?
Join? What do you mean join?
Oops. Go back here. Raise your hand if you learned something today. Star 2 if you learned something today. So Laura and Tony learned something today. Everybody else knew all this already? Who's Bennett Bryan? I'm going to open that lineup. I don't know who that is. There's Glenn. So Sequoia and, wow. Marshmallow Tree, Iowa. Is that you, Lynn? You're probably at your daughter's house. Janet Books and Maria. So Sequoia. So Janet, Maria, Larry Books. Janet, Maria, Lynn, and Sequoia didn't learn anything today, but everybody else did. So I want to know who Bennett Bryan is because, I just opened their line and they disappeared. I wonder if an email went out to people that it shouldn't have gone out to. Anybody know who Bennett Bryan might be? Is there somebody, just somebody with the last name Bennett, let me think, who might be at somebody else's house? Oh, yeah, there's Bennett. Okay, I forgot. I did the wrong thing. I didn't cancel. Okay, Bennett, I'm opening your line. I actually put your hand down instead of opening your line. Sorry. So, hi, I just opened your line. Whoever showed up is Bennett Bryan from Montrose, Colorado. Who's that?
Drina.
Drina. Okay, good. Drina Bennett, of course. All right.
Yeah.
This is why I like to do my calls mainly on the other platform, the Maestro, because I actually know who I'm talking to. But sometimes names come in and I'm like, who is that person? I don't know Brian. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. Anybody else have questions? I'm putting down the hands. Anybody else have questions? Comments? Something to add? We'll go into more depth and on this later, but I think it's important to just kind of get the basics down and know what the pathways and the things to look for are. So if there's no other questions, that's all we have for today. I've got a few minerals left to do, and we're planning on doing that the week after I get back from vacation. I'm going to be on a vacation next week. My son has spring break, and we're going to take him and his girlfriend down to Florida. We're going to drive to see my other son, and we're just going to relax. I'll probably do a lot of work in the evenings, just, you know, doing presentations and all that, but I'm just not committing to anything. I have no appointments, so it's a good timing, actually, for me to do that. So I'm excited about that, and then the week after that, we have another one of these to finish up the nutrients. There's, I think, 3 or 4 minerals left, and they're all short, relatively short, and we'll get those done in one session, and then we're going to start on a really fun section, which is the food religions. So I'm really excited about doing the food religions. So any last questions? Star 2 answers the question. I'll look to see if there's any typed into the Q&A. I didn't check there. Janet says it's still raining in Washington State. Well, it's pouring rain here, too. It's been raining for days, which is really good. The combination of the unseasonably warm weather and then rain is going to make us have a gorgeous spring. Good. All right, let me check one more time on the chat. Tony said, have a great time on the vacation. Yay. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the food religions, too. It's really a fun thing to do because I'm a real big stickler for the, you know, as you guys know, personalizing, and there's no one religion, there's no one food plan that works for everyone. So we want to make sure that you guys are really aware of the different types, and I want you to know, like, when to apply certain diets to certain conditions. When is it appropriate to apply a low oxalate diet? How do you look at that? When's it appropriate to do a FODMAP diet or an SCD diet? Who needs to be on a vegetarian diet? What's the deal with paleo diets, macrobiotics? So we're going to look at all of those different diets. And then you can make a decision based on person by person. And then even though there's those diets, you're not necessarily going to put a person on the diet. So Tony should be on the Tony diet and Martha should be on the Martha diet. It's just a matter of looking at the various options out there and designing the diet that works best for you. So I'm excited that we're going to do that. And, yeah. I'm looking to see there were a couple of other questions that came in here or comments. Yep. All right. We're good. So thank you all for being here. I'll open your lines so we can all say goodbye and have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm going to miss that.